Good afternoon, Los Angeles and Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, also known as the Astrology Hour. Heard weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesday's special expanded edition from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. The Astrology Hour is a public-supported radio show produced by Leo Scorpio Productions. And welcome to the TGIF edition, continuing along the lines of yesterday's topic on karma, trauma, and rebirth. Today's topic is called Spiritual Rebirth and Evolution of the Soul, as we focus on why people change their mind, why people change their habits, why people may suddenly get open-minded to things like metaphysics, astrology, spiritual awareness, and close the door finally on some of their dogmatic thinking, and why people suddenly seem to be ready to get their charts when others, for some reason, never seem to be ready. A very, very critical show. And, of course, if you listened yesterday, this will make a good addition to yesterday's show. Welcome to the Astrology Hour, everybody. It's the end of the week. Doesn't that just make you just so excited? Aren't you just, I know, Saturday, right? Your favorite day. How could Saturn rule Saturday? It doesn't make any sense that a career planet would rule. Well, what the heck? Jupiter rules Thursday. Maybe Jupiter should rule Saturday and Saturn rule Thursday. Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, let's talk about this topic. Yesterday's show, we talked about karma and some definitions. We also discussed trauma, because unfortunately, if people get a karma overload or if they don't know how to absolve karma, then some of the options there would be trauma. And then we discussed rebirth, or actually I wasn't able to get as much into rebirth. Now people say to me, what is rebirth, Farley? Well, there's actually two ways to be born in this dimension. You can be born through the womb, which a lot of us choose to be born, of course, if not all of us eventually. But the other way is to have what I call a life-death experience, where the pain of your trauma is so intense, where you may have an accident or a surgery or an emotional breakdown in your life that is so dramatical that you actually feel like you're going through a death experience. And sometimes, you know, this is so gestalt that the pain is so intense that when and if you do survive this, a lot of people say, my God, I'm being given a second chance here, and I really do feel like I'm being reborn. I'm not talking about being born again. I'm talking about being reborn here. So when I had my trauma, of course, it was from having a duodenal ulcer and from having a totally self-destructive lifestyle, and I bottomed out of it. So a lot of people that take drugs and drink will also put themselves through these vital organ traumas and such. Also, a lot of people that get themselves messed up with driving under the influence accidents end up with jail sentences or hospital visits and such will be people that will be subjected to this choice. Something happens to us when a lot of us go through this trauma experience. And what happens is when you come out of it, you have a lot to be thankful for. For example, a couple times when I had a real bad flu, I found just about the only thing that helped, if anything, was praying, okay, to God. And that way, when you come out and when you survive it, you have something to thank for making it. And that's why all of a sudden God does have a significance. And being spiritual for the first time in a person's life, usually it's weird, but you don't turn to things like God or like astrology until you really need them. It's like you live your life pell-mell and you go on carefree, you do what you want to do, you drink your beer, smoke your cigarettes, watch your TV, read your magazines and newspapers, do whatever, and then all of a sudden you're so selfish that the karma builds up and the dharma doesn't exist, where you're not really doing anything for anybody but yourself, which is not the way to live in this dimension. And that stuff builds up because this is a big rubber room, and the more negativity you do or the more selfish behavior you do, it creates a taint in your aura, in your body, and that's when it affects your physicality. And, you know, you could set up or manifest an accident. You know, people say, it's not my fault, but believe it or not, the higher self, in conjunction with this intuitive mind, many times will set up and manifest what you need to experience to help you absolve your karma and perhaps experience a spiritual rebirth. Now, what happens? Well, I have met so many people that have actually either passed out or died on the table during an operation, or have died from a cardiac arrest and been revived, or have died somehow and been revived. And so many of them will mention to me that they go through this tunnel and into the light, and they meet these beings, and they have this massive awareness and they come back, and that definitely is a rebirth. The way my rebirth happened was I took up transcendental meditation, and on the fifth day, I went into a deep, deep trance, because I'm talking about maybe 20 years of anxiety here being discharged. And in my meditation, I was bathed in a river of tears while I was in trance, just melting down my face, onto my neck, onto my shirt, my pants, literally drenched my clothing. We're talking about almost an hour here of crying in trance, and literally a wet carpet on the floor, right, from tears, and just a vision of incomparable proportion that it was almost science fiction to me, because at that point, I was given the information that astrology is real, and power of metaphysics was delivered to me, and a lot of the sacred truths, and literally a window that opened up in my mind that finally allowed my conscious mind to plug into what I call and identify as the intuitive mind, where if you can reach anything Akashic in this life, it will be from plugging into that intuitive mind. Because the intuitive mind, from what I have researched, is where we go after death. We become fully aware of the intuitive mind, which knows all and sees all as far as third dimensional existence goes. So this is where all the records are kept for all your past lives and basically where the karmic bank is. Because the intuitive mind is what goes through the qualification process, actually the renewal process, if any, after death when it plugs into the Akasha, the Akashic stream, where the judgment is made, the self-judgment is made, either to be pulled back to earth and reincarnate, or if full qualification is made and no longer the obsession to be physical exists, to excel to higher levels of existence and higher levels of consciousness. And that's my opinion, of course, but I know a lot of people will adhere to that. Now also, when I went through this meditation, it was because I tried everything else. I tried therapy, and I tried chanting certain things and different religious situations, got into talking to priests and rabbis and ministers, and nothing seemed to alleviate the emotional pain and the trauma of a scandalous, controversial rejection that I went through during a divorce. There's another thing, an emotional trauma, too, that you go through. So what happened for me is I was given this vision, and I had this confrontation with this incredible being of light, who I had thought was Christ, but different channels had told me this was actually an alien being named Eon, because I had an alien heritage. And hey, I don't know what to believe at this point, but I do know that my life was never the same again. And many people that are into metaphysics can pinpoint a particular miracle or a particular vision or a particular moment in their life when this window opens up and they did plug in at least to the fact that metaphysics and astrology and psychic and spiritual awareness is not only real, but it's important. And that's a very, very powerful factor involving understanding how to release pain, how to overcome obsession, and absolve karma by plugging into the eternal self, the eternal soul. And you see, a soul of a person is made up of a multidimensional level process that Seth talks about, and Seth speaks, of course, the Jane Roberts book. But frankly, there's the conscious mind that you deal with on your everyday life, your conscious mind, right? Your conscious state. Then there's the dream state that you have when you're sleeping, the dream mind that I call. And then beyond that is the intuitive mind. And these are all vital parts. These are like vital organs of the soul. And the intuitive mind is that part of yourself that can plug you into higher parts of your consciousness that we refer to as the higher self or the messianic self, the God consciousness, where all people are one. All essence of spirit is one and united into the oneness of God, or this one force, this one source of energy and light. So the more aware you become, see, the more you're able to open this window in your mind, well, a whole bunch of sacred information pours through. Let me tell you, once you do this, the reason why so many of you go from being totally agnostic as far as believing into astrology or even understanding, you know, some people send for our astroscopes and they'll look at it and they'll go, I don't get this. I read it over and over again. And then they'll listen to the show and like 2-3 weeks later, they'll call me up and say, Farley, you know what? It took me a while, but now it all makes sense because they don't know it because, see, it's not just trauma that triggers the spiritual rebirth, but it's your desire and your self-encouragement to let go of some of this materialistic crap and to reach out to something beyond, something spiritual, something intangible, something compassionate for the world. It's a selfless quest to open up your chakras and to allow your conscious mind to finally make a connection through your dream state or through your meditative state or whatever, to the knowledge that lies in the intuitive mind. There is so much knowledge that lies in the intuitive mind. A true psychic being would be a person that would be in touch of their own past life regressions and would be in touch of their own past life knowledges and also be in touch with a tremendous amount of knowledge sacred knowledge that lies in the intuitive mind that has everything to do with the mechanics of the soul, evolution of the soul, and the mechanics and structure of this dimension. And the body is a human vehicle. It's magnificent. When you start to realize the process involved with incarnating in this dimension, because there's a method behind being born in this dimension, and the astrological configuration, for example, of this dimension in this universe is a magnetic vehicle, an engine that is used to structure the illusion of separation that people manifest when they incarnate. People don't know this until they have their spiritual rebirth. The soul evolves to a state where the conscious mind can connect to the intuitive mind. And some people have such a magnificent rebirth. There's different levels of awareness you can jump. You just don't become God overnight, right? But in order to reach a messianic level of consciousness, when you really start feeling one with people, when you can see the future and the past and the present in more clarity, when you can feel people's thoughts, when you can feel their essence, when you can look at an astrology chart and actually know the being, when you plug into that area, hey, then you're really getting beyond what we would call the beer drinking, cigarette smoking, television watching, magazine reading conscious person that just walks around in everyday life. See, if everyone had a spiritual rebirth on the earth, and this Aquarian factor that's affecting the planet now is triggering millions and millions of people to having this spiritual rebirth to place them in contact with the intuitive mind and reveal some of the truths. Obviously, fundamentalism is going to be a thing of the past when people understand by plugging into the intuitive mind, the higher mind, and the messianic self, that all of us have this Christ potential. And even though in the Bible, Jesus was Son of God, he was actually born as a symbol not only to rescue the world from the wrath of the Roman Empire, because believe it or not, that triggered the collapse of the Roman Empire, because actually Christ showed people that he wasn't afraid to die and actually come back to life. Millions of people were being crucified. So that was just something that turned his personal stomach. But he also was trying to show us that we can all ascend to that level of consciousness, which would be identified in biblical terms as Son of God consciousness, or the Messiah, the messianic self. And when you become aware of that, then a lot of these trivial, petty worries that you have in life, and feeling small and feeling little or feeling young or feeling insecure or down, low self-esteem, they kind of fade away. Because the intuitive mind and the higher mind and the messianic self are like wonderful brothers and sisters that are there to keep you up and there to make you feel wonderful in life. So it really is a trip when you do, and if you have a spiritual rebirth. And you know, the only way I can advise you to have a spiritual rebirth, hey, sobriety is the first step. It's difficult to keep your chakras pure and cleansed and to protect your spiritual aura when you're polluting yourself with drugs and alcohol. So step number one is get off of that stuff. Even coffee and cigarettes should be limited, if not removed completely. And marijuana, now that stuff is a heavy drug. If you don't think it's a heavy drug, then maybe you should check and see what THC is. But the thing is that being sober is a first step. And I know you'll all get sober in your right space if you're not. And then learning how to chant or taking up transcendental meditation and opening your mind up to these visions and miracles that you can see, and practicing it on a regular basis and using positive affirmations and a positive attitude and exuding confidence, believing that life is perfect and that the perfect part of your life is goodness and happiness and fun, and removing all this negative stuff and worry. I know a lot of people have been through a lot of problems and a lot of roadblocks in their past, but hey, the reason why you've had that is because you've probably worried about it too much. So you've manifested it. You can create monsters or you can create kings and queens in your life depending on what you want. Or what you manifest, see? But when you take these steps, then you start to understand there's more to life than what you perceive, what you sense, what your conscious mind senses. Because your conscious mind is just the tip of the iceberg as to what your soul really is. Because your soul is incredible. The conscious mind flounders like a fish out of water compared to what the power and the potential of human soul is. I mean, give me a break. I wish everybody out there knew about this stuff, right? So obviously, when you do have the rebirth, and even if you taste your intuitive mind, you don't fully become in contact with it, then that astrological knowledge and the metaphysical ingredients of this dimension come pouring through. And obviously, guess what? It's time to get your chart, right? If you are somebody that feels you're going to rebirth, sometimes looking at your astrology chart, your natal chart, and your planets, and reading in the astroscope what they mean can trigger a rebirth. It can remind you of what you planned before birth, because the astrology natal chart is set up prior to birth. Whether you're cesarean or whether you're twins or triplets or whatever, I fully believe that we metaphysically arrange a certain vibration at birth to absolve karma to our highest good for an individual lifetime, and that the planetary locations represent a massive cosmic vehicle that inject us with this individuality, this illusion of uniqueness, that allows us to experience this karma and absolve it and work it off. It identifies our obsessions. So you learn a heck of a lot by sending for a natal chart. Anyway, this is K-Fox Radio, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach, where you can hear the Astrology Hour weekdays at 12 noon to 1 o'clock and Tuesday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. And thank you for your support. This is a really hot topic, one of my favorites, spiritual rebirth and evolution of the soul. And there is a ladder that you must climb to God. I mean, you don't have to climb to God. You can stay a worm or any whatever being you want to manifest if you want. But preferably, I find, because I'm into pain management, that I don't like pain, and I don't like trauma, and I prefer to have an edge as far as understanding what's going on. And when you do have your spiritual rebirth, it's fun, because little things will start dribbling in, like finally letting go of some of your dogmatic religious beliefs, and opening your mind. Some of the symptoms of rebirth are like open-mindedness, a search for further truth, not creating any bottom lines, astrological respect, psychic and spiritual respect. You're not afraid of any of these things. A lot of the people that used to control and manage and manipulate this planet through thousands of years would try to keep the sacred knowledge away from people. They would try to manipulate them with their religions and with their cultures by trying to tell people that there's something wrong. Like whenever there was a psychic person, for example, in the early 15, 1600s in Eastern United States, they'd burn these people as witches. They'd say, oh no, this person is bad. Let's keep this knowledge away from the people so we can control them. There'd always be one or two idiots in the crowd that would erect a stake and burn some of these wonderful spiritual beings that would be around. And you know, that's why people have been propagandizing the occult, psychic and spiritual awareness. And of course there's going to be evil people in any area. If you want to abuse the powers of the dimension, and if you want to abuse the powers of God, that's bad karma. That stuff will come back to you. A satanic being, a true satanic being, is definitely involved in their own self-manifested curse. And God help them in trying to absolve that stuff anyway, right? But you know, there's just a lot of negative stuff and a lot of negative propaganda that makes people think that there's something wrong with astrology and metaphysics and New Age thoughts, like it's black magic or satanic. That's a bunch of hooey. There's nothing wrong with it. And when you have a meditation or when you have a vision or a miracle, when you go through your own spiritual rebirth, then you are finally given your own internal validation where that God spark is revealed to you and the truth comes in more than anything you can read in a book or more than anything you could hear from any evangelist or even a minister or whatever, some counselor, because the true spirit of God, the true church of God lies right inside your heart and soul. It's right there. You know, when you have that spiritual rebirth, and you receive some of the mechanics of this dimension, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's one of the most exciting feelings I could ever imagine. So really, it all has to do with believing, imagining, believing, and willing this rebirth to happen, and not limiting yourself, not being frightened of it, and being able to protect yourself in a bauble of white glowing light, a snowball of white light surrounding you at all times, and know that you are loved, and know that you are a beacon of power, and know that you are a beacon of light. We all are. And it's very, very fun. It's very, very interesting. It's even romantic to be in touch with this kind of power. And of course, a lot of people are going to have setbacks. As long as you're in the body, you're human, and you're destined to go back and forth to a few casual obsessions once in a while. Maybe a major obsession, a major karma. It's all part of the game. But as long as you come back to that spiritual island you've created, why not? That's why it's there. Once you know it exists, once you know it's possible to rebirth, and once you know you can evolve the soul to get to points where you become in touch, can you imagine having as a friend your intuitive mind? And you know, that's where your guides live. Your spirit guides communicate with you through the intuitive mind. Do you know the human body is like a transmitter? Literally, the human body is just like a transmitter, and the conscious mind, which lives in the brain, of course, in the human brain, can communicate from that body to higher levels of consciousness, like the intuitive mind and the higher mind and then the superconscious mind. Beyond that is the messianic mind or the God center. When you realize that you're all there is, this is it. I am what I am. That's what the Hebrews defined God as. Eloheinu, I am, I am. Moses said to the burning bush, well, who are you? And the bush replied that, you know, you're in a trance, guy, and I'm you, and you're me, and I am, I am. You know, that's it. When Moses came down and tried to teach the Hebrews what God was, they went ahead and tried to create an image of this force that is within. I don't think they understood the basic or the logic, the simplicity of the whole thing. Maybe we should start trying to translate this stuff in English so we can all understand it instead of Hebrew or Latin or whatever. Okay, so there, I think really, in order to really understand this topic, you will have had to listen to yesterday's show. An excellent show to meditate to, I might add. Now it's time to go to the phones and see who's dharmic and see who's karmic. Let's go to Pam in Aries Cancer Rising. Hi.
Hi.
Pamela.
One comment before I ask my question. When you're giving people their transit forecast or whatever, could you also list what the aspects are? Because a lot of times I have my friend's charts in front of me, and if you say you're going to get $1 million in 2 months, I'd like to know what that aspect is so I could tell them.
Well, I'm trying to appeal to a lot of people at once. Sometimes I do that, and sometimes I'm more basic because the new listeners have trouble understanding the show as it is.
Okay.
So I'm trying to appeal to a multidimensional level of listeners so we can have the optimum people listening possible. So, you know, just stand by and sometimes you'll hear me talk aspects and other times you won't. It actually, you know, a lot of people criticize me for how I do the show, but because I am a conscious channel and I do share the show with my female guide, she's pretty much in control as to how we do things around here. So, you know, I just do what I'm supposed to do, you know.
Okay. Well, I would just like a general scan with possible emphasis on the significance of all the seventh house transits I'm having because they're also opposing my ascendant, and I don't know exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have 3-degree Capricorn descendant, and these planets are all getting ready to go into your seventh house, you said?
Right.
Yeah, well, whenever anything falls on your descendant, it's usually karma time with other people. Are you involved in new relationships?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. You have Mars in Virgo. Are you kind of alone right now?
Yeah.
A lot of women with Mars in Virgo are so picky and so perfectionist-oriented that sometimes they figure out all kinds of reasons why not to get involved with people. Is that true with you?
Sometimes, although I can be very tenacious.
Tenacious?
Yes, once.
So you have your moments of wild bursts of passion then?
Or I'm willing to hang in there. I don't feel that way.
Okay, that's good. Well, at least Saturn and Uranus are not square your Mars anymore, so that could help. Basically, I think the biggest thing going on is that Uranus is on your ascendant, and these Capricorn planets have been opposed your Uranus, so you're shown dramatic change in your personality, identity, appearance, and the way you view life, and also changes in the way you view relationships, too. Try not to be too hard on yourself in that area, okay?
Yeah. One last request, not for me, but in general. At some point, could you ever do I don't know if it's worth the whole show, but something about pet compatibility?
Pet compatibility. Do you ever send me anonymous letters, Pam?
No.
Okay. I got a letter about that the other day.
Oh, and like, you know, like I'm worried about like health dangers to my cat or any, you know, certain aspects. I don't know how to, I have.
Okay. It's the sixth house. The sixth house rules pets, same as the Virgo energy. And the Lord of the sixth or any planets in the sixth under stress in your chart would reveal pet karma that we call it.
So that would be any bad stuff happening to my pet would be any sixth.
Yeah, a sixth house transit, like an opposition, could show a problem with a pet, right?
Hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. All right, we're going to continue here with Astrological Metaphysical Radio, a very exciting show today on spiritual rebirth and evolution of the soul. It's like the thing, you know, it's like, I'm changing, I'm learning, I get to know my soul a little. Once you find out about the soul you are, it's like, oh my God, can you believe all these ingredients that make up a human being? Let's go to Terry, a member, Capricorn Aries Rising. Terry.
Hi.
Yo.
How are you?
Excellent.
Oh, it was great the other night to see you, like the professor.
Like the professor. Well, it's good to have loyal, honest, decent, caring members around, isn't it? And you're the best, too.
This subject is very good. I was discussing soul development.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was discussing it last night with someone and the stages of...
Would you speak up a little bit?
The different stages. Anyway, that experience you had after TM?
Oh, yeah?
The crying and the whatever you felt? I mean, the way I look at it is I had a similar experience years ago, and it's almost like tears, like your every cell in your body opens, and it's like tears go out and something flows in.
Yeah, well, not only that, I was in Hong Kong at the time, and when I came out of it, I was in such hysterical laughter. I was still crying, but it's like for the first time in my life in 1976, I really felt alive. It was like up till then, I was dead. And when I came out of that meditation, was so much fear and I was so frightened and negative up till 1976 that when I came out of that meditation and the truth was revealed to me, it was like, wow, you know, like finally I have been given all this knowledge and was like, thank you, God. I mean, like, wow, just amazing bath of cosmic awareness. I couldn't believe it.
It was like being emptied and filled at the same time.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. So I think in some place they call it darshan.
They call it darshan?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they call it, it's pretty nice. So, Terry, what can we do for you?
Well, I had a health problem I might have to go into the hospital for, and I wondered if it was a good time to do that.
Oh, boo-hoo. Way left of the moon wobble if you can.
Oh, when's that?
March 20th.
After?
Yeah, I would wait for the 20th or after if I was you'd be better for you. I mean, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that any surgery done during a moon wobble might not work out, but moon wobbles do contain disappointments for new beginnings sometimes, so we should be aware of that.
Yeah, no, I was into anything as ideal as I could get it if I have to.
Yeah, we'll try to avoid the Scorpio moon transit. You don't want to be operated during a lunar return. And, you know, other than that, avoid void course moons.
Well, there's all those things that are going to happen after, right? All the,
mm-hmm.
the retrogrades and the...
Yeah, a lot of things are going retrograde coming up here, April, May, June, July, August, all that, yeah.
Actually, it should be between March and between...
Yeah, I would probably go March 31st at around late in the afternoon sometime there. Or in the morning.
Sure.
Good luck, Terry.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Paula on line one, Sag Virgo rising. Paula.
Hi.
Hello.
I just called because I've been having about 8 months of losses in all kinds of areas, materially. My father died, things like that. And I also just finished the bar exam yesterday, but I... And I don't know, now I have this feeling that maybe I'm entering the wrong profession too.
Oh, real good. You finally passed the bar and you have doubts, right?
So I'm just, basically I'd like a scan of what's coming up.
Well, you're a very evolved lady. You're very intelligent. And except for the fact that you do have Mercury retrograde, which can be a bit insecure at times, I salute you for passing the bar. Because my friend over at K-Rock, the poor man, never could pass the bar. He tried to be a lawyer and that's why he's a poor man. But overall, I think that you should have a, you know, this is really a crucial time in your life for decisions. If you think this is intense, wait till April. But I don't know, what is it about law that frightens you? Is it the ethics behind it?
That's a large part of it.
Because now that you're through it all, it's like getting out of a jungle, isn't it?
It is.
I know. Well, you know, I could understand there's a lot of people that pass the bar and then don't practice law. You could take the knowledge with you and just use it in your everyday life. But whatever you do, you're probably pretty much of a cosmic mechanic also. So you might want to get into something new age. Maybe you can act as a lawyer for new age people.
Well, it's a thought.
Yeah, something like that. You're so sensitive, huh? Is money tight too right now?
Money's terrible.
I know, gosh. Well, maybe you better do something to manifest some money here. You're showing a lot of money by the summer. You're showing a real power surge then. But you are showing a little anxiety. You know what I would do if I had a chart like this? I'd probably take about 2 weeks off and go to the Caribbean or something.
Be lucky if I could get from Venice to Santa Monica.
Maybe go to Bakersfield or something. Go to Bakersfield for the week. What are you going to do, Paula? Well, I'm a lawyer now. I'm going to go to Bakersfield for a while. Should feel better after that. Well, Paula, good luck whatever you do, but you do have a lot of options in your life, and the one thing you do need is confidence and security that whatever you choose will be successful. You might want to try law for a while. It might not feel so bad after all.
Hey, do you see any... Should the rest sort of subside? I mean, it seems like there have been major crises just repeatedly.
It's the Pluto square. Pluto and Scorpio square your Mars in Aquarius and oppose your Jupiter in Taurus. And a lot of power struggles, a lot of competition coming out of nowhere, and intense anxiety, even fear involved with that. So it's going to last for a few months here. So it's actually a good time to claim some space, frankly. Good time to be spiritual, girl.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Let's go over here to Eric on line number two. Virgo, Taurus rising. Oh, no, wait. You're a Sag, right, Eric?
Yeah.
Double Sag. Sorry.
Double Sag.
I didn't want to call it a Sag, a Virgo. Sorry about that.
I got Sun, Moon, Ascendant, Sagittarius.
All right, the traveling man.
But I'm interested in the north node of the moon.
What house and sign is it in?
Okay, it's in Gemini 23-23.
What house?
I guess it's my...
Seventh? See, what's your Sag rising? What degree is that?
I'm not sure. My sun sign's 13, Sag 24.
Okay, now look at 9 o'clock on your astroscope and tell me what the two numbers are above the SG. You have the astroscope there?
Yeah, it's a 10.
Oh, 10, okay. So you have North Node in Gemini in the 7th house. Now, I have North Node in the 7th house, so you should be doing pretty much what I'm doing, which may be like being a media counselor.
Okay.
Or somebody that... Seventh house is relationships and counseling, and Gemini is a psychology factor and a help factor. So what you should probably be doing is helping other people with relationships so you can improve your own.
I'm more interested in art and expression and stuff like that.
I know, but that, you know, whatever you're interested in makes a difference. But you asked me what the North Node was, and your soul's purpose in this life was to help others through counseling and also to be able to form stable relationships.
Okay.
So when you do that, then you will have fulfilled your life's mission.
What is Pluto in Virgo?
What is it?
Okay, I have Pluto in Virgo at 16 degrees 17.
In what house?
And that would be, that was my seventh.
No, it would be your tenth.
Tenth house, yeah.
Okay, well, Pluto in the tenth in Virgo is the artist. That's the artisan. It's intense passion with using your hands, being a mechanic, sculpting, painting, writing, and concentrating in your career. It's an intense connection with career. Could be an obsession with career, too. Okay, Guy?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. We're getting ready to wrap up the show here, but we're going to at least for sure have time to talk to some more people. So we got Sharon and Sandra and Dorothy and Chris on the phone, so we'll be with you in a moment. And gosh, I'm real glad that you're able to join us every weekday at 12 noon here on KFOX 93.5 FM. Sharon, thank you for being patient. You're a Virgo, Taurus rising. What can we do for you?
I was wondering what you could see in my chart, Farley, as regards karma and spiritual growth.
You're like Supergirl or Wonder Woman.
I am.
Yeah, I think that you may never, ever realize your full potential because you were born at a very special time, September time in 1948. For you, you have Mars in Scorpio, which is a deeply compassionate, caring, loving woman with Venus in Cancer, very tender. Jupiter in Sag, tremendously philosophical and tremendously knowledgeable. It's probably important that you spread some of that knowledge and exude more optimism because as far as karma goes, karma is with authority figures, family, the father, self-control, and all kinds of Leo situations. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Farley.
Bye-bye. We'll see you real soon. How about Monday, KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative at 12 noon. Bye-bye.